Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Those who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw her get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and those who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So they said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. He said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing there, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy and life-giving God, speak in this place, in the calm of our minds, to the longing in our hearts. Amen. The defense lawyer had a tough case on his hands. The evidence that his client had committed murder was overwhelmingly substantial. The lawyer pondered this and came up with what he figured was the definitive closing to ensure a not guilty verdict. "Members of the jury, I want you to turn towards the entrance of the courtroom, because in order to prove my client's innocence, the alleged victim of this crime is going to walk through that doorway very much alive." Naturally, they all craned around, but no one appeared. "Okay," said the lawyer, "you can stop looking, because I did invent that bit about him walking into the courtroom. But it does demonstrate that the case against my client is so flimsy and so circumstantial that you all expected the supposed victim to walk through that door. Therefore, you should find my client not guilty." It was a grand strategy. However, when the jury returned with a verdict, it was a resounding guilty. The lawyer was dumbfounded. "But you all looked at the doorway just as if you really believed the victim was alive." "Indeed," replied the foreman, "but your client didn't." There's something unhappily close to this going on in our gospel story about the resurrection of Lazarus. Unfolding in great detail, it points up the intensely personal nature of Jesus' response to his friend's death. He wept, came to Bethany in person, connected with the two sisters, and in a supreme demonstration of his power as the Son of God, he raised Lazarus from the dead. His interaction with Martha has a lot to say to us today, because out of the exchanges between them, a picture of a real crisis of trust emerges, which looks a bit like our lawyer friend and his client. Lazarus was dead. We don't know how long he'd been sick or what he died of, but whatever it was quick, because by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, his body placed in one of the rock-hewn mausoleums the Jews of that day favored for burial. The connection between Jesus and this family was unusually close. Mary and Martha appear in Luke's gospel, and John tells us that Jesus loved the sisters and their brother Lazarus. Martha, hearing that Jesus was on his way, came out to meet him with a lament that almost sounds a reproach. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus' response was brief. "Your brother will rise again." It's impossible to tell whether this was expressed in a gentle, sympathetic tone or with an element of rebuff, as if to say, "My not being here was unimportant, Martha. Your brother will rise again from the dead." Either way, Martha responds, "I know." Meaning at this point, it's as though we're witnessing the equivalent of a polite exchange between people meeting up in the lobby of a funeral home. Except that in this case, Martha has misjudged. She thought Jesus was giving voice to the conventional platitude a rabbi might offer, not unlike today's "I'm sorry for your loss," which is why she responds with one of her own, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Translated, "Yes, I know that's what you rabbis teach. I believe it because I'm supposed to, and this certainly isn't the time to argue the toss." But Jesus is not someone who speaks in platitudes. He knows exactly what he has said, because he not only has the power to make it happen, he's about to do so. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" In other words, Martha, are you looking at the doorway? In a way, the timing for a gospel story like this seems wrong. After all, we're in Lent, the season of the cross, moving steadily and somberly towards his inevitable death. Yet deep down, we know very well that Jesus has a penchant for showing up at what we might call the wrong time, reminding us that we are not the ones in charge. This whole section of John's Gospel radiates with his life-giving power and presence of our Lord. He leads, restores, protects, teaches, anoints, promising to be with us always, even through the valley of the shadow of death. An insightful young lad put his finger on the heart of the story some years back when he said to me, "Did Lazarus get his old life back? Or was it like he went to heaven only stayed here? If he gets his old life back, that kind of sucks, because he's still got to die a second time. If he went to heaven first time round, you think he'd be really mad to have to come back and go through it all again. I know I'd be saying, 'Don't do me any favours, Lord.'" Talk about out of the mouths of babes. There certainly is way more to this story than corpses reanimated or pie in the sky by and by. Jesus didn't say, "Believe in me and when you die, you'll go to heaven." He's talking about pie now, about an intimacy with God that is Christ's gift to all who follow him. Notice that John never does shift the focus from Jesus to Lazarus. There isn't a chapter where they all sit around and discuss Lazarus's life after death experience. He isn't the point of the story. Jesus' ability to transform the meaning of life and death for those who believe and trust in him is. Martha was upset. Jesus wasn't where she thought he should have been, but he moves her beyond that, challenging Martha to put her trust in him and in him alone. We're talking about those times when the creeds won't do, about God in our hearts in the here and now, not about intellectual answers or theological pontification. What we're looking for in a memorial service, after all the eulogies, the giving of thanks to God for a life, the comforting readings and uplifting music, is a Saviour to walk alongside us, to hold us up when we just can't stand up by ourselves. We're talking about a loving, life-giving, personal relationship in the here and now, not some esoteric theological or philosophical concept that we hope will pan out in our favour sometime in the future. Jesus says to Martha and to us, "I am the resurrection and the life." That is the immediate reality standing in our doorway today and every day. Jesus the Christ, in whom we live, move, and have our being. The story of Lazarus reminds us that our Lord is always in charge, that we can and must claim from it Christ's power to call us, individually and collectively, out from the tombs of our own and others' making, out from the fear, pain, grief, guilt, shame, and other shadows of the past, into the grace-filled peace that is new life in Christ. As an unknown author once put it, did he call Lazarus from death's abyss? Did he change water into wine that day? Yes, but his greatest miracle is this, to make a Christian from our common clay. Amen.